Today's shiur in Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Samach Amar Aleph at the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah, the new Perek. As Tosfos explains, our Perek really speaks about shtaris, about documents and different types of got documents. A get when the husband divorces a wife, a get, shtaris, documents of gifts and of obligations. And of course, the question is, why is that brought into our Masechta? And Tosfos explains, because we learned in our previous perek about the different types of documents people write when they want to distribute their assets prior to their death, and we've learned about those different types of shtaris, so that's why our perek continues with teaching us halachas of shtaris. We know that if a husband wants to divorce his wife, the way the Torah says you divorce a wife is by giving a get. The actual definition of the word get means a document. And that's why there's Gitei Noshim, which represents the divorce document with which a husband and wife divorce. And it also means other types of documents. But typically, when we use the word get, it refers to a get of a husband to a wife. Why is that document, which represents the divorce of a husband of a wife, called a get? So the Shilti Gebayer in the beginning of Masechta Gittin explains that the Yerushalmi says that there was a type of stone called gita, and it doesn't let anything else come close to it, which is, of course, what a get represents, that the husband and wife separating from each other. Another very well-known explanation, the Tosfos Yontif and others say why a get is called get, because the gematria of the word get, three plus tes, 9, equal 12. And a get is written with 12 lines. The Marit al-Ghazi explains that we don't find in the words in the Torah, we don't find, in Tanakh, the words Gimel and Tes ever coming together. And that's why the word get is the appropriate word to represent the divorce, because it represents two letters that are never kept together. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that actually he did investigation, and Gimel and Tes are not the only two letters that we never find come together. He says the same as with Gimel and Kuf, Zayin and Tes, Zayin and Tzadik, and Samach and Tzadik. So many explain, so why were these two letters specifically chosen to represent when we speak about something not coming together? Because they're the first letters out of the Alabeis that we find that they're not kept together. But Reb Chaim Kanievsky explains, because these two letters, Gimel and Tes, are never put together, coupled with the fact, as we just said, that we have that stone called Gita, that's why it was mentioned, that's why that was the word that was chosen to represent a divorce document. There's an interesting Shaila. We just said that the reason a get is called a get, because it's the gematria of 12, which is the amount of lines that are written in a get. What happens if a get was written without 12 lines? It says the Ramah that even though the get should have 12 lines, if it was written differently, then the halacha is that the get is kosher. And the Raya is based on a Rajba, because the Rajba says that the Gemara Masechta Gittin speaks about a case where a get was written al-Alashazayas, on a leaf. Now, he says on a leaf, you can't fit 12 lines. And the Gemara discusses the kashrus, the validity of such a get. So obviously the fact that it wasn't written on 12 lines is not absolutely essential. The parak that we begin now speaks about the two different types of gittin. There was what's known as the get poshut. It's a regular get, as we just described. And then there's something known as the get mekusher. As we're going to learn, Chazal were particularly concerned that Kohanim may divorce the wives, and the halacha is a Kohen can't marry a grusha. So whereas if a Yisrael divorces his wife, they could reconcile, and that's why they could get remarried. But a Kohen can never remarry his wife. So Chazal wanted to slow down the process of divorce by a Kohen. And the way they were able to slow down that process is by instituting, as we're going to be learning in our shiurim, a get mekusher. And the definition of a get mekusher is a get that's folded. There are many different approaches in the Yerushalmi, in the Rishonim, how that was done. Some Rishonim explain that we know, we've learned this many times, there are two parts to a get. There's the typhus and the tariff. The typhus is what we would call the boilerplate language, the language, the wording that appears in every get. And the Yerushalmi said, and those Rishonim say that part of the get, which is a standard nusach, was written both by get poshut and a get mekusher the same way. But then we have in the get the tariff haget. The tariff haget represents the unique part of this get: the names, the place, the names of the husband and wife, the place where this is taking place. And they explain that only that, this is the opinion of Rashi and the Rashbam, that only that part was mekusher, was tied together. The others explain that all the lines were folded, all the lines of the get mekusher were folded. There's also machlokes, how they were folded. Was every line written and they're folded? Were they folded and they were sewn together? How were they sewn together? But what's relevant to us is that the get mekusher is a get that's not written just on a piece of paper, but rather, as we just explained, they wrote the parts of the get, or maybe all of the get, folded over a line, had Adam sign on that fold, and then they continue doing so for the balance of the get. The get poshut, says the Mishnah, when we speak about a regular get, Edom Metaychai. So the names, the signature of the Edom appear on the actual get. Mekusher, but when we speak about, as we just did, spoke about the get Mekusher, there the Edom HaMachorev, the Edom assigned on the back of the get. As we said, they have this line where the Edom sign on the back of the get, and then they fold it, sew it together, and then go back. So says the Mishnah, Poshut Shekosu Me'acharev. So somebody reversed and has a get Poshut, which we just finished explaining, the signature of a get Poshut is like on any document on the bottom of the shtar. And this, what they did was, they wrote a regular get, but they had the Edom sign on the back of the document, or vice versa. Mekusher Shekosu Edom Metaychai, or a get Mekusher, which we just finished explaining, the signature should be on the back of the page, but this get was, the get Edom was signed on the bottom of the page. The loch is Shnei and Psulim, both of them would be possible. The reason? Because a get, Chazal established how a get should be written, how a get should be signed, and a get mekusher is supposed to be on the back, a poshut is supposed to be on the front, and any reversal violates what Chazal wanted. The Gemara will also teach us, because the zman that was written on a get, the date of the get, obviously is a critical part of the writing of the get, and since the zman, the date of the get, is so critical, the halacha is very concerned that if the dating process for the get mekusher and the get poshut are not the same, we don't want to end up with a situation where it's written, where the wrong date is on a get and the get is so essential. Mekusher shekasav edim etaychai. If we ever get mekusher where the edim were written, where the edim was signed on the shtar itself, it's kosher. And the reason is b'nei sheyachol lasoy se poshut. A get mekusher can ultimately be turned into a get poshut. Just open up all the folds, and you'll have everything from inside, and therefore the get will be a perfectly fine get. And therefore, there's no problem, he says, if you turned, you had a get mekusher in a get mekusher that was signed on the bottom. Of course, there are many questions, because as we're going to be learning in our upcoming sugyas, there's supposed to be room left in a get mekusher between the lines. And if you're going to have room between the lines, that could cause all sorts of halachic issues. So how could the Gemara say, but you had a get mekusher that had all that empty space, and still it would be a kosher get? So the Rishonim explained that the halacha is that with the Yevid, sometimes you shouldn't leave empty lines, but with the Yevid, sometimes empty lines don't necessarily disqualify the get. And because they don't necessarily disqualify the get, that's why it's going to be kosher. If Shimon ben Gamliel Aimer, Hakol fi Minika Medina, Gemara is going to teach us Kuf Samachay, exactly where Shimon Gamliel comes to teach us. Get Poshev, and that teaches us one more halacha. The Mishnah differentiates between a get Poshev and a get Mekusher. Get Poshev Eidim B'Shnayim. On a regular get, you have two Eidim, and when we have a Mekusher, we have Shloisha. We have three Eidim. And therefore, poshut shekasav eid echad. If you have a get poshut, but you had only one aid, or you have a get mekusher shekasav by shnei aidim. If you get mekusher that only has two aidim, both of those cases shnei psulim, because you don't have the proper amount of witnesses. And obviously, the witnesses signed on a get are crucial to the kashrus of the get. And if you don't have the right amount of witnesses, then the halacha is that the get is possible, as the Mishnah teaches us. Says the Rambam, not immediately. So we began by discussing the differences between a get poshut and a get mekusher. And says the Gemara, where does this come from? So says the Gemara, Amar Chanina Damakra, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us that there was a nevuah told to Yirmiyahu HaNavi before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Yirmiyahu HaNavi was told that Klal Yisrael is going to be going to Golus, but they're going to be coming out of the Golus. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells them to buy property in Eretz Yisrael, so those properties should be available to them when they come back to Eretz Yisrael. And because they're not going to be there for the 70 years of the duration of the Golus, they should properly have documentation on the properties that they will be buying. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yirmiyahu to go to the city of Anosis, and he has a cousin there. His name is Hanomel, and he should purchase from him property, and he should write a shtar. He should write documentation verifying that to that sale. And the pasuk says, "Sodus because of Yiknu, buy these properties, v'ksoiv b'sefer v'chasoim v'ha'ed edim." So says the Gemara. And the pasuk obviously represents quite redundant. So it says, the first part of the pasuk is speaking about a poshut, a regular shtar. Chasoim is speaking about mekusher, a shtar that's written, the pasuk is speaking about a shtar that's written mekushev. The chidah says that the pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to tell Klal Yisrael as they were getting ready to leave Mitzrayim, Mishchu v'kchu lachem tzayim. And the question is, why does the pasuk have to say Mishchu v'kchu lachem? What do we learn from all these words? So the Chidah explains that the Machna Ephraim says that if somebody is buying something that he wants to fulfill with what he's purchasing, a mitzvah deraisa, for example, somebody is purchasing an esrig. So he wants to make a proper kinyan, that there should be no question that what he's buying really belongs to him. So what he should do is that he should do a Mashiach. If what he's buying is Matatlin, he should do Mashiach. Because as we've learned so many times in our Shurim, when you purchase Matatlin, Mashiach is the type of Kenyan you're supposed to have. But Mashiach is only a Kenyan b'drabbanan. And Kesef, paying for it, is a Kenyan d'raisa. So therefore, when you're buying Matatlin to use for mitzvah d'raisa, you should do both. You should do Mashiach, because that's what the Rabbanan wanted you to do. But you should also do Kesef, that it should really be yours, midaraisa. And that's what the Pasuk says, Mishchu v'kru lechem. Mishchu, do Mashiach. Chulachem, as we're going to see, represents Kesef. In order that the sheep that they're going to be buying, that they want to do the mitzvah Karban Pesach with, should truly, truly be theirs, what they were told was, do both kinyanim. When you do both kinyanim, you'll truly have both of them. Continues Rav Chanina to explain that pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vohed ashnayim." Wherever the Torah uses the word "aid" in the Torah, it means two aidim. The way we know this, because the pasuk says, "Lo yokum aid echad beish l'chal oven alachachatus." Now the word "aid" is singular, yochid. Why does it have to say "aid echad"? From here we learn that when the Torah says the word "aid," unless the Torah adds next to the word "aid" the word "echad," "aid" always means two aidim. And when the Torah wants to say it means only one aid, the Torah indeed uses the word "aid echad." So aid is shnayim, as this is taught in the beginning of Masech Tosfot Daf Ayin Beis over Beis. When the Torah uses the word aidim, it means three aidim. So now the question is, how many aidim do you need? Haketzad, do you need two aidim or three aidim? It says the Gemara, shnayim l'poshut. When we're writing a get poshut, two aidim is enough. When we're writing a get mekusher, you need three aidim. Ask the Gemara of Epechana. Yes, we're trying to differentiate between a get poshut and a get mekusher. But ask the Gemara, why do we say that it's the get poshut that needs two and the get mekusher needs three? Maybe just the opposite. Answers the Gemara. Since, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, there's this whole process and procedure in writing the get mekusher, and you have all of these different knots. So you're making so many different places where you're tying it together. You're also going to have more edim to sign on every kesher. Raf Ramam Mihacha. This is where we learn these halachas. Because the pasuk over there that we just referred to with Jimio and Chanamel says, V'ekech ha-sefa ha-mikna as-achosim ha-mitzvah ha-chuki v'as-agoli. V'ekech ha-sefa ha-mikna, says the Gemara, refers to a shtar poshet. As a chosim refers to mekosher. As a goluy refers to the poshet sheba mekosher, the part of the get mekosher, which we spoke about when we gave our introductory remarks to the shir, the typhus. That means there are certain parts of the get mekosher that are equivalent to the get poshet, which means the typhus part, which is the boilerplate, which is the same by all stars. Hamitzvah chukim el dvarim shebeim poshel mekusher. The chukim mishpatim represent where the halacha differentiates between a get posh and a get mekusher. How is that demonstrated, this difference? Says the Gemara, zeh edim b'shenayim. A shtar poshet has two edim, zeh edim b'shloshim. Then also, as we learned in the Mishnah, zeh edim mitochei, and a get poshet, the edim assigned on that actual document, v'zeh edim mechorev, and a get mekusher, the edim assigned on the back of a document. Again, ask the Gemara, meipachana. Yes, we're saying that one document needs two edim, and one document needs three edim. Why don't we say just the opposite? Answers the Gemara, again, betachsh misrabe b'ksharov, because there are more of these folds, that's why in the Srabba Be'edav. Another source for all of this, Ramban Bar Yechezkel Amar Mehacha. The pasuk says, "Apishnai edim, apishnai shloish edim, yakim davar." So the question we learned this pasuk is, "Im teskayim edusim b'shnayim," if two edim are sufficient, "Lama part l'cha shloisha?" Why did the Torah speak about three edim if two are sufficient? Answers the Gemara, "Lama l'cha," that by shnayim, by regular shtar, two edim are what you need, but by mekusher shloisha, by get mekusher, you have three edim. Ask the Gemara again, "V'epachana," maybe it should be the other way around. Answers the Gemara again, "Metoich shnesrab b'ksharav nesrab b'edav," and that's why we say the get mekusher is the get with three edim. Ask the Gemara. Yes, we learned all these psukim, but ask the Gemara, "Hani lachidasu?" Is that what we learn from these psukim? Kol chad v'chad lemilsudasu. Isn't every one of these psukim here to teach us a specific halacha? L'chir tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, the first pasuk that we learned, where Yirmiyahu is told to buy property, sad v'kesav yiknu v'kesav b'sayv v'chaysim, that pasuk is etzat tayv v'kamashmalan. Yirmiyahu was giving them good advice, and he was giving them, telling them that since they're going to Golus for all these years, and the Edom who are signed on these documents may pass away, the Edom who are signed on these documents may themselves go to Golus, and now when they're going to come back, and they're going to take out these documents to prove that they are, as their deeds, to prove that they are the owner of these properties, they won't be able to have good, it won't be good documentation. That's why he told them that, and if they don't have good documentation, they won't be able to win the dintar, because they won't be able to find the original Edom. So that's why he said, have good documentation that will be preserved. The pasuk of Ekeches Sefer Mikna suggests the Gemara is just to tell us, Hachi Ava Maisa, that's exactly what happened. The pasuk of Apishnei Edom, Apishloish Edom, comes to teach us, Lahakish Shloish L'Shnayim, to teach us, and as we learn in the Gemara Masech the Makas, Tafayim Abayz, the Machloikas of Plukta Rabbi Kiva and Rabbanan. According to the Tanakam, the Rabbanan, we learned from that pasuk that just the three Edom can be Mazim to Edom. We know the Torah has the Parsha Hazama, that if Edom said testimony, and then other Edom come and say, how could you have possibly said that testimony? Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. We accept what they say. And the Rabbanan say that pasuk teaches us that two Edom can be mazim, three Edom, and three Edom can be mazim, two Edom. Another explanation the Rabbi Shimon gives over there is that if we have Edom, three Edom who testified to something, in order for those Edom to be able to become Edom Zomimim, all of the Edom who said testimony have to become Edom Zomimim for us to have a situation of Edom Zomimim. If not all of them were Muslim, then they don't become Edom Zomimim. And Rabbi Kiva says that the Torah is coming to teach us that even though we didn't need all three to say testimony, but if all three did say testimony and all three were Muslim, they all get the punishment of Kashazomim Lasas Lachiv Kan Yasaloi. Ela Mekusha, says the Gemara. So all these psukim we're here for different reasons. So what is the, so where do we get these dinim, these halachas that we've been speaking? El Mekusha Midrabanan, and all the psukim that we've been quoting are just a smach to Ba'alma. So now ask the Gemara. V'tama Maitakin Rabbanan Mekusher. Why did Chazal indeed institute this concept of a git Mekusher? Answers the Gemara, Asur the Kahana Hava. This was a place where Kohanim were living, the Kabde Tuva, and they were people that were upset. And we were concerned that they got upset and they would quickly divorce the wives. Or Mekarsh and Neshayu, out of their anger, they would divorce their wives. And then, as we said earlier in our shir, they would not be able to take them back because a Kohen may not marry a Grusha. So therefore, Avdi Rabbanan Takanta, that it should be complicated to write a Get Mekusher, and that will slow down the process. And Ad HaHachi V'Hachi, miyasva datayu, they'll calm down and they'll reconsider getting divorced. So ask the Gemara, so we understand why get mekusha was instituted by gittin, by divorce. Hotenach gittin. But ask the Gemara Shtaros, but what about by other types of documents? Why Mayek Lameimah? Why would there be a need to institute a Get Mekusher? Answers the Gemara, Kadesh Lech Techalik, Ben Gittin L'Shtaros, we didn't want to differentiate. So Tosfos asks, if Chazal made this rule about a Get Mekusher, so why doesn't that apply? We don't find that Bezman Hazeh, even when a Kohen gets divorced, we do a Get Mekusher. So Tosfos says that of course, a get, any get, as long as it's written properly, is kosher. And there's so many questions about how a get mekusher should be written, and what is a get mekusher, so we just don't make a get mekusher anymore. Another answer Tosfos gives, that this rule about Kahanim slowing down and not divorcing their wives was not everywhere. It was only made in a certain place where they had a problem with Kahanim getting divorced. So in that place, they instituted Get Mekusher, but it doesn't apply to everywhere. Another pshat that the Rish suggest is that the point of this whole Get Mekusher is to slow down the process, that Kahanim should not be so quick to divorce their wives. But it's not that it has to be done that way. And therefore, if there are situations where the Kohen doesn't want to take that approach, then he doesn't have to. Of course, the question is, why do we find this concern most by Kahanim? The Kahanim are quicker to divorce their wives than anyone else. So I saw, because Kahanim is Rizimheim, which means that people get upset. And people have situations that cause them to do things. But most people are not quick to act on their reactions. But because we find throughout Shas that Kohanim's Rizimheim, and Kohanim are people who are quick to act on their reactions, that's why there's a concern by Kohanim. The Noam Elimelech explains that the Gemara Masech Tanis, Daftal Raman Aleph, says, Hahut Surva Mirabonon, the Karasach, if you see a Talmud Chacham getting upset, a Raisa to the Karasach, it's because the Torah that's in his blood gets him excited. The Kohanim, who have the level of Kedusha that we know that the Kohanim have that as well, that they have that excitement, the excitement of Avodas Hashem, and because they have that excitement of Avodas Hashem, that causes them to act quicker, and therefore they cause them to get quicker, to act quicker, and we're worried that they shouldn't divorce their wife too fast. The other point is that I saw that the Cheshuke Chemet explains. He explains that we are concerned that one of the minhagim we have by a get is that after the get is given, the get is ripped up. And the reason the get is ripped up after it's given is because if anybody should not come and start making claims against the get, that the get is not a kosher get, we rip it up. The Kohen is the most likely to make that type of a claim. Because everyone else, if they just are unhappy about the get, could remarry their wife. The Kohen, however, cannot remarry his wife. So the Kohen now will have divorced his wife. And after he divorced his wife, he regrets having divorced her. And he wants to disqualify the get. And therefore, if the get will be easily accessible and visible, there's going to begin a world where people are going to start examining the kashrus of the get, which Chazal were very concerned about. So they made that the get should be mekusher, should be tied up. It shouldn't be easily seen, and it can't be easily identified as a not kosher get. And in fact, the Cheshuki Chemed has that type of a situation. It talks about that type of situation where there was a Kohen who acted quickly in divorcing his wife. And then he regretted divorcing his wife. His family was upset that they got divorced. And they now wanted to see if there's any way that this couple could get together again. So what they began to do was examine who were the Edom on the original Kedushin. And if the Edom on the original Kedushin weren't kosher Edom, or weren't Edom that were kosher for this marriage, then they were never married in the first place, and therefore the get was not a get. And they discovered that one of the Edom at the marriage was married to Achois Imai, was a relative, and therefore they wanted to disqualify the get. They disqualify the Kedushin, and therefore the get's not good, and wanted to be able to get remarried. So he goes into a long discussion that, number one, you have to know if the disqualification of that aid was a disqualification that's midaraisa, or it's a disqualification that's midrabonon. But then he says that even if the disqualification, and he says that if the disqualification is even midrabonon, a get is required, and therefore the get's considered a valid get. But then he says, even if the marriage one could prove wasn't a valid marriage, even midaraisa, he says there's another consideration, and that is something known as a reyach haget. The definition of a reyach haget is that anything that is a get, even if it's not a kosher get, we treat it like a get. And therefore, since we treat it like a get, once the kohen gave his wife a get, even if an argument could be made that the get was not a good, it was not required, there was no marriage, it still has to be treated l'chumra as a get. And if he's a kohen, he can't get remarried. There's a question that many discuss here. If somebody was hired to be a worker, to be an employee, and then at one point his employer dismissed him. The question is that how do we look at that situation? And the Rishonim say, and the Ramah quotes it, that he could back out of what he did. If he could claim that what he did was just done out of anger, then the halacha recognizes that it was just done out of anger, and it's not considered something that is permanent. So the question here is that we're concerned about this get that the kohen is writing, and then the kohen is writing it out of anger, and then he's going to regret. But why can't we apply the psak of the Ramah that something that was done out of anger is not really considered halachically meaningful? But according to what we just said, it makes sense, because we learned that when we speak about a get, there's a new consideration. And the new consideration we think about when we speak about a get is something known as a reyach haget. Then even when we just have a reyach haget, the get is considered a get that we have to respect. And therefore, even though maybe the kohen can make an argument that he divorced his wife out of anger, and that the get should not be considered a kosher get, but a reyach haget it is, and once it's a reyach haget, it has to be considered. Another approach that the Paiskim say to answer this question, there's a difference if somebody got angry and said something versus if somebody got angry and did something. The case that the Ramah discusses is somebody got upset at an employee and he said something to him. He dismissed him out of anger. So there we can make an argument that since it was only words, so on words you could perhaps back off. But when we speak about a get, it wasn't just that he got upset and said something. It's much more than that. He actually acted on his anger because he wrote a get. In a case where the anger led you to do something, not just say something, that's much more serious and it can't just be backed off from. Continues the Gemara. Where do the Edom sign? When we're speaking about the get mekusher, so ask the Gemara, Hecha Edom Chaisman, on the get mekusher, where do they sign? Says the Gemara, Huna Omer, Ben Kesher L'Kesher. between each fold. On the outside of the on the back of the page, connected ksav, corresponding to where there's words on the inside, because as we've been saying, and to, as we've been saying in our shiurim, the get mekusher has line and then empty space and then written line, so the edim have to sign connected haksav mevchutz. That where the signing has to be on the back, connected where there are connected with our words. Amalei Rama b'chamer Chizda. Rav Huna d'amar ben kasher l'kasher. Rav Huna says that the edim want to get mekusha sign between the folds. Kusalka datach. So the Gemara thought that what does that definition of that mean? Ben kasher l'kasher megavoy on the inside between the folds. Ask the Gemara. How could that be? For whom a kusher the kosher made the Rebbe? There was a get kusher that was brought to Rebbe. Vam Rebbe ain zman bezeh. I don't see a date. The reason he said that I don't see a date because the date was written into one of the folds. Vamalei Rav Shimba Rebbe leRebbe Shema ben kusher of Muvla says, don't be so quick to say that there is no date on the star. There is a date on the star, but it appears between the folds, Palya, and what happened was he opened up the folds, v'chazye, and he saw the date. But ask the Gemara, im Isa, if what Rav Huna said is correct, that the Edom signed between the folds, and therefore he didn't see the date, because the date was between the folds, he should not have seen the signatures either, because the signatures are also between the folds. So why was Rebbe only concerned about the missing date? Why was he not also concerned about the missing signatures? Answers the Gemara Amalei, Mi Savrit, when Rav Huna said that they sign between the folds, being Keshel Keshem Megavoy, they're only from the inside, and you will not be able to see their signature unless you open up the fold. So in the outside part, and therefore the signatures could be seen, but the date could not be seen, and that's why, that since the signatures could be seen, Rebbe wasn't concerned about missing signatures, but since the date is in a place where it can't be seen, he's worried about the missing date.